All right, so now that we've got through that, I'm going to go ahead and start. So I want to start with two verses. As I was going through this, I just kind of Googled. I was wanting to see kind of what verses would quickly pop up, and so, but I wanted it to be centered around David. So I just kind of searched in Blue Letter Bible, what verses kind of illustrates doing the right thing from David, and it came up with a bunch of them, but I picked Psalms 25, 4 through 5. And I have it. I'm not going to make you guys do a whole lot of flipping. I've got most of my verses down. But Psalms 25, 4 through 5 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day." In life, as you're going through high school, I mean, I just told you, I'm going through work, sports, spiritually, different things that you guys are going to encounter. Life has a way of presenting us with different choices that we can or cannot make. And whether we experience that in sports or school or whatever we're going through, you're always going to be faced with choices. The list just kind of never stops, the situations that you're going to be in. But really, the quality of our lives can be determined on a large scale by the choices that we make or the choices that we don't make on a daily basis. There's always a right way and there's always a wrong way, whether we want to see it that way. A lot of people like to live in the gray area. I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, if my oldest is getting in trouble, it's because he's tried to find a loophole. He's tried to find a gray area to live in. There's a right way and there's a wrong way for us as Christians. The nice thing about it is that we've been given black and white, what is right and what is wrong in a lot of cases, i.e. David and Bathsheba. But the Bible presents everything black and white. There's not a gray area in this. As you study it out, as you look in it, there's not a gray area. It's black and white. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. And God has a way. God has a way of choosing. I have no idea what I wrote there. He has a way of giving us choices that can lead to blessings and peace and purpose, or we can go the opposite direction. And choose to disregard it and see things come apart. So I've sat under Jason McGuire's teaching for years, so I like to have a list because it makes it, for me, it makes it more applicational. So I'm going to have three truths about choosing God's way and how it connects to David. First thing is God designed life to work a certain way. Starting all the way back in Genesis, in verse 1, he creates heaven and the earth. It's perfect. This is relevant to me because I'm going through Genesis 1, but I really didn't know a whole lot about the fall of Satan being in between verse 1 and 2. But God creates everything to be in a certain order. You can see it in the way everything is established in life. You see the design in marriage, how husband and wife come together. It completes each other. You can see it in the family where you have father, head of the household, mother, children, God above all. Worship, the relationships. He's presented a structure. What he's created has structure and has a certain way of coming together in all things. And it's not until Satan gets involved, or humans decide that we're smarter than what the book says, there's confusion and disarray. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." His work is perfect. What he has established in the world, the way he's created it, is perfect. I don't think there's really a reason for us to argue that. And I mentioned that the Bible is black and white. It's not going to mince words. It says that what he does, his work, is perfect. So there's no room for us to question it. We understand that what God makes is the way it's supposed to be, the way he sets it up in marriage, in family, in relationships, worship, whatever it is. The way God has it structured is the way it's supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of saints." What he makes and what he establishes for each of us isn't going to be confusing. Whether or not we're called to be obedient or disobedient is not confusing, because that's the way he's established it. He's not the author of confusion. He gives us order and structure. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." When we operate outside of the way God has structured it, when we step outside God's design, things break down. You can see it in Genesis 3. All Satan had to do was ask a question. He didn't outright tell, "Hey, Eve, you should go do this. Hey, Adam, you should go do this." He didn't just outright say it. He just created a little bit of confusion. He asked a question. And it was enough to throw Eve off. We need to be careful, because it's easy to slip into confusion. We need to understand that what God calls us to do is perfect. It's not ever going to be confusing. God says, "Don't eat of the tree of good and evil." That's all it is. There's no confusion about that. There's no miswords. There's no backwards meaning. It is what it is. All Satan had to do was create a sliver of doubt of the validity of God's word. And a lot of times, when you go out evangelizing, that's honestly the scariest part of it, is you know what you're supposed to do, you have the words and everything, but you lack the confidence in this. And you're worried about, you know, if somebody's going to give you a rebuttal and it kind of throws you off. I can tell you that's my biggest issue with teaching, is I get so nervous and do I say the right things? I don't want to cast a sliver of doubt in somebody else's mind. But that's the way life is. That's the way society is. If you look at it with all the gender identity issues that are prevalent in society, you guys see it in your schools. I mean, that is so wildly widespread and everywhere. There's litter boxes in high schools. Like, it doesn't make sense. There's a reason. Yeah, that's a real thing. I swear. Well, it may not be there. It's big on like Johnson County schools and like woke schools. It is a thing. It's weird. But that's a thing. Satan has gotten such a stronghold in the world now that nobody knows up, down, left, or right. They don't even know what they are. I mean, you're born a man or woman, people are left not even understanding what they are, and it's easy. Look down. But Adam and Eve fell to this confusion. They didn't literally die, but in the moment they became separated from God. They died and had that relationship severed. The relationship that God had established for them to have. That is where we are when we are living for ourselves, not judging our decisions according to God's word. We become separated with God. When it boils down to it, when we stop adhering to the order that God has created in his word, our own ways lead to confusion, pain, and destruction. But God's way restores and sustains the believer. If you want to turn to Isaiah 55, we're going to read, huh? Do what? Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. Everybody good?
No.
What they're not, yeah, I'm good.
Honestly, the tabs make it more confusing. That's why I stopped using that Bible. The tabs make it way more confusing than just thumbing through it. Yeah. It's not that easy. All right. I'll go ahead and read. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. I would love to delight myself in some fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Coming back to the Lord will restore and sustain us. It talks about the bread and the water. That's what we find in the Lord. If you go a while without coming to church, you know, things come up. Life be life, and sometimes is what my wife says. Things come up. You're not at church. You find yourself busy, so you start. Kind of slacking on your reading. I mean, we've all been there. I've been there. You can kind of see it in life. As you distance yourself from church, you distance yourself from reading consistently, it just feels like you're missing something. Have you guys ever tried fasting? Where? No?
So it'll
come as you guys get old, like Luke and I, when you have to go get blood tests done, you have to fast. So you stop drinking everything by midnight, and then you gotta go, the whole morning without food. And I can tell you, my technicians know, when I'm late for my lunch, I start to get a bit grouchy. But we'll find ourselves there, when we're fasting from the Lord. When we find ourselves not reading, when we find ourselves not in church, you just feel that something's missing. Like when you're fasting, you're hungry. You're frustrated, like you're easily frustrated. You should be that way when you're not eating of the bread and coming and getting the water. And that's what the Word and what the Lord is for us. He restores and sustains the believer. God's ways are higher. They are wiser. They're better than any other decision we can make. No matter how smart you think you are, ultimately what God has presented for us, the people, the leaders, Pastor Brian, I don't even understand. When he's going through homiletics, there's so many things that are just like, I've got to like catch up on. Because he knows what God is trying to deliver to us. The things God thinks, says, his ways are higher, they're wiser, and they're better than anything that we can come up with. It says in these verses that the Lord is everything we need. Not just some of what we need, There's no point in this Bible that just says, oh, well, God is a part of what you need in your life, and then the rest of it you can find in the world. There's not a part of the Bible that says that. God is everything that we need. He is everything. He is all the sustenance we could ever require. So number two, doing the right thing requires choosing God's way. Choosing God's way is an act of faith and obedience. As we continue in our growth, in our walk as Christians, we need to trust in God even when we just don't understand what He's doing. There are a lot of situations in my life and my testimony that don't make sense unless you take a step back and think about the way God was working. When I met my wife in high school, I'll be honest with you, I was a bit of a sleaze. Cheated on her when we were in high school. I did all the things. I really was not a nice person. I was out to get what I wanted and, you know, everybody else's feelings, everybody else's needs. Everything could fall by the wayside. I really was not a great person. There's no reason why Meredith should have had the grace and the forgiveness to give me another chance. I'm really, really happy she did. I have three awesome kids. I have an awesome wife. But like when you think about it, the situations we went through early in our life together, there's no reason why she should have been willing to give me another chance. And now, being in the position we're in, seeing the way God is using her, seeing the way God is using me, God willing, that the only answer can be God. There's nothing about it. Like, when I think about it, it's not that, oh, well, you know, Phil was just good enough. He figured it out. I was still a knothead. There's still times where I act like an idiot with my wife, but when I think about what my life is today, it can only be God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Simple obedience to the words we find in this book. That's really what it boils down to. I had to have a talk with one of my technicians today, George. He's struggling to listen. He's given multiple instructions and he doesn't do it. So we had to tell him, and I was like, hey, this may sound really childish, but you're not doing well when it comes to listening and obeying. When I give you an instruction, when we give you instructions, the expectation is that you adhere to those. I set a clear boundary. I need you to do it. God is the same way with us. He gives us boundaries. He gives us expectations. The expectation is that we are obedient. Simple obedience to the words we find in this book can eliminate any toiling we have when we try to use our own wisdom, to use our own understanding, to solve our problems. But in the end, it's nothing but vainglory. Like, even if we find a way that we think is successful out of a situation we've gotten ourselves in, it's still vain. We still did it in our own strength. We still did it in our own understanding. And ultimately, is it of God? No. And ultimately, there's going to be consequences. You may not see it now. There's a lot of times that I've made decisions that I felt was God, and it wasn't. When we were young, I was praying for a new job, which I had just started going to church. I just started coming to HBF. No, it was earlier than that. But I'd been praying, Lord, I need another job. I need to be able to provide for my family. My car was repossessed. I didn't have enough money. I was barely scraping by. And so I took a job at a bread company, And it was the worst 3 months of my life. I left a good, steady job in the pursuit of money, and I threw a veil over it and said, oh, well, God provided this opportunity. Satan knows what we want just as much as God does. But instead of actually submitting to God and praying, because at this time I was involved in church. It was my old church. And I thought that I knew what I was talking about, and really I still don't. But I threw a blanket over it and said that, oh, well, this must be what God wants. But really it was, oh, well, they're offering me a butt ton more money. I'm going to take that because I'm tired of getting my car repossessed. It wasn't God. It was my own understanding. And ultimately, it was truly one of the worst experiences of my life. It lasted 3 months. I woke up one morning and just told my wife I wasn't going to work and I was done. And since then, I've never done anything without sure assurance from the Word, as far as pertaining to work, that it needs to be affirmed by God before I do it. But I say all that to say that I was leaning into my own wisdom to try to direct my path. And then when I picked what I wanted, I said it was God because it gave me an excuse to do so. Doing the right thing is often the harder choice, not the easier. The flesh, the world, and the devil all pull at us. They all yank on our heartstrings, trying to lead us to make compromises. And that's exactly how it starts. We make one compromise. Okay, well, this isn't that big a deal, so I'm going to compromise here. And then I'm going to make another compromise. Then I'm going to make another compromise. And before we know it, we have gone off the path of what God has established for us. We make compromises that don't adhere to God's word, and then we find ourselves lost, spinning our wheels in the mud. Matthew 7:13-14 says, it talks about the path of destruction being broad, and the path that leads to life is narrow. A lot of times, we're going to find that Satan will provide you a path that fills your needs, but it's only going to be your worldly needs, and it's going to be the easiest thing you can decide to do. Sometimes, like evangelism, it's not easy. Like, it'll put you in some weird situations. You can get frazzled. I don't like public speaking. I don't like getting in front of people and talking. That's not my strong suit. That's not what I like to do. And so evangelism is like this big scary thing for me because I get nervous when I talk to people. But telling people about God is exactly what we're supposed to do. It's hard. So in life, the narrow path, it's going to be harder to make the right choice sometimes. So broader path, easier to travel, narrow path, harder. But the easier path is often, the wrong one, especially in 2026. The world is so backwards and screwed up. Everybody just wants to live for themselves. They're out for, immediate gratification, self-preservation. You can just see it. So I'm most of you know, I like to lift weights, and I'm into fitness. You start following a bunch of these fitness influencers and it really is garbage. Like, you've got a couple of good ones, but a lot of times when you're scrolling through, it's just people that are just proud and vapid, and just all about themselves. The world is so about self gratification and self preservation and about me and I that it's easy to get wayward. And that's not what God intends for us. And that's the easy path. You start doing all these things just for me, and it gets easier to make the decision. It gets easier to make the decision where following Christ sometimes takes some sacrifice. God provides the strength to choose wisely. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. He'll provide the necessary strength. I can tell you this is probably the best I've done as far as teaching you guys, and it was just this week the prayer was, hey, please let me speak confidently. Please just put my nerves at ease. If we are submitting to what God wants, God will equip us with the necessary things to be able to do this. When we choose God's way, He will equip us. Whole armor of God. This is more of a, I just wrote this down because I was thinking about it as I was typing this. So pop quiz, who knows all the armor of God? Do you guys know them? What are they? Speak up, son. I'm hard of hearing. Yes. I think that was all of them. Yeah, they're out of order, but I think you got all six of them. That was more of because, like, I thought about it, and all right, well, for knowing that, you get a screwdriver. But I couldn't have recited that. And when I was thinking about how He equips us, it just kind of made me think about that, and I was curious who would know the whole armor of God. But ultimately, choosing God's way has lasting results in our life. The short-term sacrifices yield the eternal rewards for us in heaven. I was speaking to some high school students yesterday, and it's a reality. Some of them smoke weed. Some of them are doing this and doing that. Well, you can't work for me and smoke weed. Morally, yes, but federally also, they just can't work for me. And so I was telling them, like, hey, there are going to be hard days, and there are going to be things that you have to give up and some sacrifices you have to make. But at the end of the day, it's worth it for the stability, for the money when it comes to work. But we'll find that in our relationship with Christ, too. It may seem difficult at times. We've got this relationship that's not holy. We've got this thing that we're doing that's not of Christ. We've got this going on in our lives that's just filth. Like, we'll find that making those sacrifices is a little bit difficult at first. But for our relationship with Christ, it's so worth it. Well, you like pop your hand up. I don't know what. So at the end of the day, making the necessary sacrifices are worth it. You'll find that whenever you start aligning your life with what Christ expects, just how crazy it is where, like, it doesn't seem like the cogs should come together and it move the way it should, but it does. As you start to sacrifice this, and yeah, it sucks, like, I've got to cut off this person. I can tell you, I love my family to death. I can't be around my family very much because they get in the way of my marriage. They get in the way of my testimony. And Meredith and I struggle. So there are times where I have to understand, like, hey, during the holiday season, I've got to be very selective with how much of my family, who in my family I'm around. Because I want to keep a good testimony. And that means taking care of my wife. There are going to be some sacrifices that sometimes you have to make to be a good husband, to be a good Christian, to be a good bride to Christ. So, number three, final point. David chose to do the right thing. At this point, we've been talking about David for 2 months, so I don't want to necessarily rehash everything he did. We know about Bathsheba, we know about Nathan, we know the things. So I'm going to focus on kind of one story we've already touched on a couple times. But King Saul, when he was chasing David in the wilderness, for really no reason, no just reason, to kill him after he defeated Goliath, it was pride. So as he's being chased in the wilderness, David finds Saul and his men, or David and his men find Saul sleeping in the cave. He was vulnerable and unprotected. David could have easily killed him, taken the throne in an instant, but he didn't, even in the face of pressure. David's men tried to urge him to really take advantage of this moment. Similar to what I was talking about, how I took the job, and I'm like, oh, it's more money, it's what God would want. That's exactly what David's men were trying to get. Hey, David, you should kill this guy. He's right here. God delivered him. But David knew better. What's the story? I don't even remember where it is, where the female rams the stake into. Yeah, I can't. I mean, David could have easily done that. Saul's just there, bop, right in the head, done. Story's over. David's the king. Could have, but it wasn't right. 1 Samuel 24, 4 through 5. And the men of David said unto him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. Skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. David knew that this wasn't the right thing to do. He had all of his guys saying, hey, do this, kill him. Because they want to be done with this too. I don't think a bunch of dudes want to be constantly on the run, hiding in caves from the king. Like they want to be done as well. And David could have easily just given in. I mean, if I'm David at this point, I'm running. I'm ready to off this guy too. I'm done with it. But David knew that it wasn't the right thing to do. And even when it could have dealt with a lot of his issues, he could have handled it himself. And the same way Abraham and Ishmael, he could have just done it himself and tried to solve the issues himself. But David knew that wasn't right. David only cut off a piece of Saul's robe in the moment and smote him in his heart. He cut off a piece of Saul's robe and it shows, I could have killed you and I didn't. You were there for the taking. I could have ended this. You could be dead right now. I didn't. David chose not to harm the Lord's anointed. Probably wasn't the easiest of choices. At this point, he'd been chasing him, trying to kill him. Probably the easy choice would have been to kill him and just be done with it. We find ourselves in that situation in life a lot. The easy choice, Sunday mornings. Stayed up late playing what's that game that was just Overwatch? No. It wasn't Fortnite, it was the other one you were playing. Overwatch, yeah. Stayed up late playing over that game was way too overwhelming. Like there's too much stuff going on. There's way too much going on. But Sunday mornings, Saturday night, stayed up till 2 a.m. playing Overwatch. The easy decision is to stay in bed and sleep. You know, I'm not worried about church. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in. Well, yeah, when you're like 6 years old, you have to obey your parents. The choices that we have to make sometimes to obey God aren't going to be the easiest, but they're the right ones. In this moment, David trusted God to handle the situation. He did not take his own vengeance into his own hand. Verse 12 says, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. David knew that ultimately God had his back. God didn't choose David for just any no good reason. And if it was time for David to take the throne, God would make it known. Romans 12:9 says, not to avenge yourselves, that vengeance is ultimately the Lord's. If we're living for Christ, then our lives are his. The things that we go through, the situations we find ourselves in, ultimately they're all His, whether they're good, bad. That's the beauty of being a Christian. My wife will tell you one of the things she loves most about being a wife and being a stay-at-home mother is that she's under the umbrella of protection. Like, all the big decisions, all the important decisions for our family ultimately fall to me. That's the good thing about being the bride of Christ. We give our life to Him. He's already paid. He's already handled the biggest decision. He died on the cross for us. Romans 12:1-2 says that to present ourselves a willing sacrifice, our entire life, our entire body, everything we are, is the bare minimum that we owe God. And we can rely on Him as our good Father to protect us. There's not going to come a situation that God just simply can't handle. Whether it's peer pressure, sports, money, home life, some people deal with abuse and infidelity. Like, these are things people have to deal with in life. But we're Christ's children. We are the bride of Christ as the church. We have a protection that never fails us. All He asks is for our obedience and our whole. I'm gonna make sure we're good. All He's asking is for our obedience. He wants us to obey His commands and His instructions. David understood that God was there, and what was meant to be would be worked out and orchestrated by God. He didn't have to take it under His own control. He didn't have to try to take control and figure it out Himself. Ultimately, God was in control. We can try to control everything in our lives, but it's going to be for naught. I told you about switching jobs and stuff. I tried to control my own life. I've tried to do all this, and I walk away just finding myself exhausted because I'm just a hamster on a wheel, just sitting there running. I just get exhausted. That's all we'll find when we lean into our own wisdom, our own power. We think we know better, but we really don't. So when David, in verses 16 through 19, it says, "It came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day." Doing the right thing, David's integrity was preserved, and his future was secured. He stayed true to what he knew God would expect of him, and ultimately blessed his entire rule. Like, we're not saying David is perfect, but he was called a man after God's own heart for a reason. He sought to do the right thing. We're all humans. David was a human. We're going to make mistakes. We talked about it when last time I taught that ultimately he needs repentance, needs to come back to worship. David knew that God was in control of it, and in any situation, any choice that was presented to him, ultimately following God was the best choice. Even when he got wayward, it still turned back to, what would God want me to do? Return to worship. To bring it all together and to wrap it up, God has a way, and it is always the right way. Just like David, we're going to face moments in situations where the path is easiest to do wrong, but choosing God's way requires faith, patience, surrender, and sacrifice. Surrendering our own wants and wisdom to submit to God's, we choose His way. God will fight our battles. He'll protect our integrity. and he'll secure our future. It's just a matter of whether we're willing to obey. David continually came back to obedience, even when he fell wayward. We are called to do the same. We are going to fall wayward. We are going to have moments where we are so far out of left field that we think we're lost. It's just simple obedience, one step at a time. It's the same way with our parents. Like we've done things. There are times where, you know, I was so mad at my dad. My relationship was so bad with my dad that I didn't think there was reconciliation. Ultimately, whatever my dad did, we're called to forgive. God says to forgive those. If God can forgive me and can die on the, or if Christ can forgive me and die on the cross for my sins, why in the world should my dad not get forgiveness? It's just obedience. It's hard sometimes. In life, obedience is not always easiest. We're fleshy. We're humans. We want what we want. But ultimately, as children of God, we are called to submit and be obedient and ultimately come back to God, turn away from what we're doing in the world and resort back to what he says. Admit that we're wrong and resort to what this book, black and white, no gray areas, what this black and white book says. It's tough. And it doesn't get easier as you get older. Looking forward, you think becoming an adult, life becomes sunshine and rainbows, and it's not. It's just as hard. But I can tell you from experience, thinking I know everything, thinking I can fix all my things, ultimately it's when I'm walking right with God, when I'm at church, when I'm in the Word, when I'm praying, when I'm focused on what He would expect of me, that's when it's the easiest. Because I don't have to know everything, because ultimately I've got a God that loves me and is there to protect me. That's what I got. We'll pray, and then I've got one question for you guys to ponder on, because I like that everybody's doing questions. All right, so let's pray. Who wants to pray? I want one of you guys. I prayed at the beginning. Lucas, you pray for us.